You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio, where listeners are sharing their stories of sight loss. Dubrig Lewis-Smith lives in Salford and has been visually impaired since the late 1970s. But in 2017, he lost his remaining sight. He joins me now to talk about his experiences. Dubrig, welcome to RNIB Connect Radio. Croeso.
Hi, hello. Thanks very much.
Can you tell us a little bit about the eye condition that you have?
Oh, that's a very complicated question. I think I've got eye condition bingo. My current situation is I'm completely blind in both eyes. I mean, there's a very minimal light perception, but nothing of any use. This is due to, in my right eye, I had an accident when I was a toddler and lost sight in that one. In my left eye, I was going blind because I had a corneal edema. So they wanted to operate and give me a new cornea. Unfortunately, that caused trauma in the rest of the eye, and therefore I ended up with a torn retina, which means I've been seen by everybody except the glaucoma people at the hospital recently. And prior to that, I was partially sighted growing up. So in my left eye, although I had some vision, it was only around 10-15% of that because of congenital cataracts, which hadn't been handled very well when I was first born.
And you mentioned your visual impairment when you were growing up. Mm. You were visually impaired in your school days. What sort of technology did you use in the classroom?
The basic piece of kit I was given from around the age of 8 was CCTV. It was one of those old style Voyagers. If anybody remembers those, are the old sort of knobs and click and switches that looked like something off the Star Trek Enterprise. So I used one of those throughout my school. That was the only real piece of tech that I had, because in a sense, once I could access the books and once I could read and once I was taught how to type, I could pretty much do schoolwork. So that's what I was reliant on.
And was there much support for younger people with sight loss at the time?
We were very well supported by people from Gwynedd County Council at the time in terms of being allowed to go to a mainstream school, being allowed to have the kit and having access to the RNIB library. Generally, I was well supported. Now, looking back, I sort of think it would have been nicer to have the opportunity to be exposed to other blind and partially sighted people, because I was the only person with that sort of disability in our community, probably one of the few people in the county with that. And we're never exposed to anything broader than that. But I've never had the experience of education which was aimed at blind people. So I don't know how it compares. I mean, I'm glad I went to a mainstream school, but I think I would have liked to have exposure to more support for teaching a blind person or a partially sighted person as well.
And you went from school to university, then on to employment. Many visually impaired people don't follow that path. Was there something different for you, something that pushed you on?
Oh, gosh. I think, like most people who succeed in life, a lot of it was to do with being in the right place at the right time. Getting into university, I just found relatively easy. And because I'm in a sort of very bookish subject in law, you know, I developed techniques for taking my own notes in lectures. And, you know, so I was able to do that. Because I could access books with my CCTV, I was able to read textbooks and law reports. Although, again, looking back, I do wonder if knowing about more of the technologies that were available, be it in speech or braille, would have actually made some aspects of that easier. I also benefited from the last days of the old quota system within the civil service, because I got into my first training contract as a solicitor with the Crown Prosecution Service. And so this was just before Disability Discrimination Act did away with, I think it was the 3% quota for disabled people within the public sector. I am conscious, knowing people who've been trying to get into the law in the generations since, people just aren't being taken on. So I'm not going to put this down just to ambition, because I don't have that much of that, or drive, because I don't have much of that. But a lot of it is to do with you just happen to be there. And I think a lot is to do with structures of the openness of society to people from different backgrounds. You know, there were things possible to people who were born in the 60s, 70s into the 80s, which now don't happen.
I mean, you keep yourself busy outside of work as well. You're on the boards of directors for Goalball UK. What does the sport mean to you?
The sport was quite an important thing to me in that I was never very good at sport. And this is one aspect of my education, which I think was not well handled in that they didn't really know what to do with me. I have a very vivid recollection of being taken to one side in primary school and being told I was not being allowed to do PT, as it was called in those days. And when I was at secondary school, I did not do physical education. We used those periods to catch up with work with my support teacher. Now, what this meant is that I had no real sense of what was physically possible for me. I had no real confidence. You know, I'd go crashing into things left to my own devices, and obviously didn't have hand-eye coordination that is necessary for most sport. So when we went to see the sport at the Paralympics, saw a couple of games there, I thought, that's actually something that I can do, because it is designed from, it starts from the principle that you do not really know what to do with your body. You've got to work things out. Also, there are skills drawn from goal ball, which I've benefited from, such as, you know, the way you try and find something with your hands, or the way you position yourself with your feet, or use other parts of your body, or just spatial awareness and dividing the world up into areas where you can move around. These are, you know, I found myself doing things I learned on a goal ball court in real life, and it's made life easier. It also allowed me to talk to other people with visual disabilities, ranging from complete blindness to albinism to various other conditions. Again, things I had not been able to do before. The sadness is that I'm not going to be able to play it again because of my eye condition. My specialist warned me that, you know, I can play it, but it might make my eye explode. So that's probably not a good thing.
And you play the ukulele as well, is that right? How long have you been doing that?
The ukulele itself, probably been playing about 10 years. I taught myself to play the guitar quite badly when I was a teenager because, you know, at that point you're going to be a rock star. But it wasn't until I got the ukulele that I really started thinking about playing music more interestingly. And then as a result of going blind, and this is an interesting thing, I think I've become a better musician because it's forced me to go and find resources that explain to you music in words. Now, even though I had a CCTV, the actual mechanics of learning musical things with pictures is quite difficult because of you know, just the size of books and the shapes of books. Since going blind, it's literally forced me to listen. And so I'm probably a little bit better than I used to be. So I play now the baritone ukulele, which is essentially a ukulele tuned to a guitar, but it's only got four strings. And as I've got short, stubby fingers, four strings is quite handy rather than six strings.
You haven't got one to hand, have you?
I have. You're not going to ask me to play it, are you?
Well, it depends how much you'd like to show off your skills.
Let's see this. Okay, here we go. There you go.
Very nice. Very nice. Would you have any advice for people who might just be starting their sight loss journey?
Be prepared that the world is going to become very different. You know, I used to try and imagine what it would be like when I knew I was losing my sight, what it would be like to lose all of it. And it's not really like that. Know that there's tech out there that can help. It can help a lot. If you can learn Braille, get hold of things to find things in tactile ways, because although there's a lot of electronic tech that can help you, sometimes you just need to feel your way around and you don't need to want to get your phone out or check something on a computer. Get information about how to use the cane you need. Be visible to people, because one of the issues I had growing up is that people didn't really understand I was blind, or I was partially sighted rather, and therefore made wrong assumptions about my abilities and my willingness to do things in certain ways. And so it is quite a complex and an emotional journey. Have people who understand around you and learn Braille. I've said that before, but learn Braille. Do learn Braille. It's actually really good and it's really interesting.
Very good advice from there. David Lewis-Smith, thank you so much for sharing your sight loss story here on RNIB Connect Radio. Diolch yn fawr i chi.
Diolch yn fawr.